to destroy the Christ child. And Satan came after Christ on earth, tempted him and crucified him. But then Christ arose from the grave and ascended into heaven. And Revelation 12 verse 5 says, the child Christ was caught up to God in a throne. Now we can also confess that Christ sits enthroned in heaven. He is the head of his church. But this is also what Revelation 12, 6 says, that the woman fled into the wilderness, where she has prepared a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there. Even though Satan continues to persecute the woman, the church, God is preserving her. God is watching over her. That's just like he provided for Israel, he provides for his church today. And in the midst of all the fierce opposition, in the midst of all the attacks trying to destroy the church, Christ is our head, gives his Holy Spirit, gives his presence, gives his power to defend and preserve his people against all our enemies. And that is the benefit that we have of Christ in heaven. That's also what our catechism refers to. But Christ also himself, he had to flee as a child from the threat of Herod. Herod tried to kill all the seed royal as well of David, killing all the children under 2 years old. But the enemy there also could not defeat Christ. And so here, Athaliah, with Satan behind her, could not destroy the royal line of David, because Christ needed to be born. And here Joash, at 1 year old, is rescued, is hidden away for 6 years. And so we see how sin creeps in slowly into our lives or into our nation. How Satan uses deceit, subtly trying to turn you away from God, never presenting itself initially as evil, but as good. Because these marriages that were made between the two kingdoms were made in the name of peace, were made in the name of unity, were made in the name of tolerance. Do we recognize those terms today? The kings Ahab and Jehoshaphat formed a coalition to strengthen the nations. It was done to protect their economy and to defend them from common enemies. So we need to be careful who we align ourselves with, even today in this world, in opposing evil. Because compromising in our faith will hurt in the end, will bring us to further evil. But then we also see that even though it starts softly, it starts innocently, sin soon takes over. You can see many parallels both in your own life and in our church and in the world. Because here a corrupted Ahab and a corrupted all Israel when Jezebel brought in Baal worship. But it also corrupted Jehoshaphat in the kingdom of Judah. It corrupted the line of David and it turned them to serve idols. None of us like to hear of the ugliness of sin in our life. But before we know it, we find ourselves walking arm in arm with sin. Just like Jehoram walking arm in arm with Athaliah, his wife. And you can imagine him as a young man. He wanted to please his wife. He wanted to please the kings, his parents, and the other king of Israel. And you can imagine how she would say, well, why can't I serve my idols? Why can't I live my life and you do your life? And you give in a little here and a little there. And before you know it, you are swept along with it. And they ask that common question, well, what's wrong with it? And so we need to examine our lives and our homes and ask what enters our homes under our arms. That comes in as apparently a good thing, a necessary thing even, but influences us for evil. It can begin so innocent. And it's not only warning us against believers marrying in unbelievers or having friends who are obviously opposed to the church in this world. But there's many other things. that our children, that our friends, that our spouses bring into our homes. And you see the devastating effects in many ways. There's something as simple as social media or the internet can be so useful and yet at the same time so harmful and so hurtful. You see young people, you see elderly people taken captive by it. But secondly, once sin gets the upper hand, once it enters our home, once it enters our nation, it begins to take over with violence. And that's the other approach of Satan. If he can't get you with prosperity, he will try to get you with persecution. Both intended to turn you away from God. And that makes us again question, how have these years of prosperity affected us? How has it been merged into our hearts and into our lives and into our churches? How have we intermarried with the world during these times of prosperity and blessing? But where has it begun to make us serve the idols? Where has it made us to compromise? Well, we have to work on Sunday because that's what this job demands. Or we need this luxury because that is what everybody else has. We need to participate here in these sports or in these activities. And it all takes our time away from God. Even though in themselves they might not be wrong, but it replaces God in our life. We'd go there instead of the Bible study. All seemingly good and useful things. But there comes a time when either it has to be destroyed itself or it must destroy the church of God. See, Athaliah could not usurp the throne as long as there was a rightful heir still living. And there will come a time in our life, whether small or big, when that choice needs to be made. And which one will live in our life? Which one will live in our heart? Will it be your faith in Christ as the King seated in heaven? Or will it be your idol in this world that you choose? Because a time will come that you need to choose. And in the day that we live, I believe these lines need to be drawn clearer and clearer. And our nation is becoming more critical to know that we are standing for the truth. Because for 6 years here, Athaliah reigned as queen. And to the godly people in his nation, it would have appeared that all had been lost. There was no indication that there was still a son of David living. And that meant that all hope of the Messiah would be gone. Can you imagine the darkness that would have prevailed in that nation at that time? In Psalm 77 laments, shall God's promise fail? Will we not see his favor anymore? You can also think of the disciples when Christ was crucified. They had that same question. When their hopes were dashed because they saw the one who they thought was their Messiah now crucified and buried. And even today it can appear at times that Christ is not on his throne. Or if he is he able to do anything? You can think of all the wicked leaders in history where this might have been the case. Or even the nations today where they know, where you know their purpose is to root out Christianity out of the land. But despite all this, Christ still reigns, even though wickedness prevails, and even though Athaliah reigns in the land. And that's true for both for our nation, but also personally in our own hearts, or for the lives of our loved ones, our children, our families. Our hope is in the Lord who has given his word and his promise. So then secondly, we see Christ, the Son of David, reigns over all and forever. Athaliah might reign over the land for a season, but Christ, the Son of David, reigns over all forever. Christ now sits enthroned in heaven, and he will come again one day to judge the living and the dead. And now he preserves his church. He promised that the gates of hell would not prevail against his church. The dragon could not destroy the woman in the wilderness, because it said, Revelation says, God nourished her for a specific time. For a specified time, God supplies the needs of the church. And then we see a turning here in chapter 22, verse 11. 2 Chronicles 22, verse 11. But Jehoshabeth, the daughter of the king, took Joash, the son of Ahaziah, and stole him from among the king's sons that were slain, and put him and his nurse in a bedchamber. So Jehoshabeth, the daughter of King Jehoram, the wife of Jehoiada the priest, for she was a sister of Ahaziah, hid him from Athaliah, so that she slew him not. God here was also defending and preserving his church. See, God works in a different timeline than we might want or expect. He allowed Athaliah here to reign for 6 years. He allowed Nero to reign. He allowed Bloody Mary to reign. He allowed Hitler to reign and various others. And even today, we see rulers around the world permitted to reign. But in the seventh year, in chapter 23, verse 1, in the seventh year, Jehoiada strengthened himself and took the captains of hundreds. He regathers the military leaders and they make a plan. They prepare a guard to protect the king. And they're going to make Joash king. And in verse 3, the high priest said, "Behold, the king's son shall reign, as the Lord hath said to the sons of David." And then in verse 12, the priest crowns Joash king, and he anointed him, symbolizing that the Spirit of God was upon him to equip him to serve as the king of his people. And he said, "Long live the king." See, at God's time and in God's way, God sets the rightful king upon the throne with the proper anointing. And that is what we see with Christ as well. That in God's time and in God's way, and the rightful king, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of David, was enthroned in heaven, seated at the right hand of God, and all the power and authority in heaven and earth was given to him. And it had to be at God's time and in God's way. Because even when the Lord Jesus was on earth, the Jews tried to make him king a few times. When he rode into Jerusalem on a donkey, they were showing their submission to him, that they wanted him to be their king as they put their coats in front of him. At another time when he fed the 5,000 by the river, John's Gospel said they wanted to take him by force and make him their king because they saw the miracles. Satan himself said to Christ, "Bow down before me and you can be the ruler of all these kingdoms. You can have all these kingdoms." He tried to give him the shortcut. He tempted Christ to compromise using prosperity and deceit of this world to turn him away from obeying his Father. And when that didn't work, he turned to violence to crucify the King of Kings. And then when all appeared to be lost, when all appeared to be gone, then he rose from the dead and ascended into heaven at the right hand of God and was made the rightful king of his people. And now that promise of God is fulfilled for eternity that he gave to David, that his son would sit on the throne forever. And never will anybody be able to usurp that throne again. Never will anyone in this world be able to remove Christ from the throne or to rule over his church. And that's the comfort that the church of God has today, even in our land and whatever land that we are in. And the catechism helps us to understand that Lord's Day, question 52, Lord's Day 19, says that in all my sorrows and persecutions, with uplifted head, I look for the very same person who before offered himself for my sake to the tribunal of God and has removed all curse from me to come as judge from heaven who shall cast all his and my enemies into everlasting condemnation, but shall translate me with all his chosen ones to himself into heavenly joys and glories." See, the Jews did not know that Joash was still alive. They did not know that one day he would show up and become king, especially not Athaliah. Satan did not know that Christ would rise again from the dead, although now it appears that he is aware that Christ will come again one day to judge the living and the dead, because the demons said, "Do not torment us before our time." But the disciples were told that this same Christ who was taken up into heaven will come again to this earth in the clouds of heaven. And here, Joash, the son of David, returned to take the throne and to begin the judgment upon the wicked. And we read in verse 13, that when Athaliah heard the noise of the people running and praising the king, she came to the people to the house of the Lord, and she looked, and behold, the king stood at his pillar. And at the end of verse 13, she rips her clothes and cries, "Treason, treason." Here's Athaliah, the wicked queen, who committed treason herself, who killed her own grandchildren, is now crying out treason against the rightful king. And we see the wicked even today crying treason against the church of Christ, calling it intolerant, unaccepting to their sinful views. But they are the ones who oppose God. They are the ones who oppose what is right and true. They are the ones seeking to usurp the authority in this world. But here Athaliah's time had come, and they seized her and they killed her. And they destroyed the temple of Baal and broke down the images. And then it says that the people of the land rejoiced in the last verse. The city was quiet after they had slain Athaliah with the sword. And then it says Joash was 7 years old when he became king. The people rejoiced. There was such peace in the city because the son of David was on the throne. And today Christ, the greater son of David, is on the throne in heaven. And there is peace in the city, though not in every city on this world. But there will come a time when the peace will come from sea to sea. In God's time and in God's way, that peace will be established forever. When Christ will appear, when all the usurpers of authority will be cast away forever and destroyed. We don't know when that time will be. Athaliah did not expect it to come. And the unbelievers of the world today don't expect it to come. Athaliah thought everyone was dead. And today the world says God is dead. They say there is no Messiah coming. And they're replacing the temple of God with the temple of Baal. They're seeking to raise up their own idols and to root out God. But they will stand in fear and amazement when the day comes, when Christ returns. But the question for us today is, who do you serve? With these questions that we've considered today, are you looking for the true Son of David? Because that will determine where you will stand in that day, and how it will be for you when you meet the rightful king. It said everyone who followed Athaliah was to be slain along with her. If you follow the ways of the world today, you will also meet the destruction of the world. But even for Judah here, it got worse before it got better. God punished Judah because they had forsaken God. And everyone here, as the covenant children, covered in that covenant of God and His promises, will also face the judgment of God if you turn from Him and do not answer His call to repent and believe on Him. If we allow ourselves to be influenced by the wicked counselors of this world, we will also meet the destruction of this world. If you allow sin to reign in your heart, even though it begins innocently and quietly and softly, the time will come where it will turn to violence, seeking to destroy anything that remains in you of Christ. But in this world also it will get worse before it will get better. Revelation 20 says Satan will be loosed for a season. He will use Gog and Magog, those symbols of God's enemies, to pursue the church of Christ. But then Christ will return suddenly to destroy his enemies, just as Ataliah was destroyed. And we live in anticipation of that return by faith of Christ enthroned in glory, now preserving his church. But in the meantime, the Ataliahs, the instruments of Satan, war against the church. We do not know how long God will let them rule or to what extent. Because in the days of Ataliah, it seemed like there was no more hope. Even though there be many blessings, God's word promises that in the last days, in Matthew 24, it says that the gospel will be brought to every nation. The church will continue to spread. God's kingdom spreading like yeast hidden through the earth until it reaches every corner and every nation. But there will also be troubling times. Matthew 24, verse 6 speaks of the trials, the wars, the famines, the persecutions, the pestilence. It says these are just the beginning of sorrows. 2 Thessalonians 2 says that day will not come unless the falling away come first, the great falling away from the church. Many will fall away from faith, turn their backs on God, serve the idols of this world, pursue the Ataliahs of this world. And they say, where is Christ in his coming? I don't want to believe it anymore. The Antichrist will come in its various forms, seeking to rule the world, not just the nation of Judah, but the world. There'll be an Ataliah that will seek to destroy the world, the church in the world. 2 Thessalonians 2 verse 4 says, the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. He is the great Ataliah who seeks to rule the world. Revelation 13 verse 11 says, then I saw another beast coming up out of the earth and caused the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the first beast. It says he performs great signs and he deceives those who dwell on the earth. And he was granted power and causes many as would not worship the image of the beast to be killed. He causes all to receive a mark on their right hand or on their foreheads, so that no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark or the name of the beast of the number of his name. So the power of the wicked rulers will persecute and destroy the church, just like Ataliah did. They'll try to destroy all the spiritual descendants of Christ in this world, because both cannot coexist. That's why Christianity cannot live at peace in this world. That is why the world cannot tolerate Christianity to survive. The world must assassinate its grandchildren, the Christians, to survive so they can rule. And Jesus said we'll see this in our own families, where children rise up against parents, parents against children. And it can appear like there's no more hope, no more sight of the Son of David. But sin and the truth cannot coexist. And that is what we're seeing more and more today. We're becoming more blatant, more forceful, more openly against Christianity. seeking to root it out, because there's one thing. Everybody preaches tolerance and acceptance and love, except it cannot tolerate Christianity. But one day, Christ will return and destroy the enemy of the church, like Ataliah. Revelation 19 says, "And I saw the beast, the kings of the earth, and their armies gathered together to make war against him who sat on the horse and against his army. And the beast was captured, and with him the false prophet who worked signs in his presence, by which he deceived those who received the mark of the beast and those who worshipped his image. These two were cast alive into the lake of fire with burning with brimstone. The rest were killed as a sword which proceeds from the mouth of him who sat on the horse." We don't know what's going to happen to this nation. We don't know what God is in store, how long he'll allow it to continue in this path, if it'll get worse or if it'll get better, if the Lord's judgments increase because of the wickedness of our nation and our own sins. But our faith and our hope is in God. It's in Christ, the Son of David, who now sits on the throne. Joash was hidden for 6 years. Christ has been hidden from our view for 2,000 years. But the difference is that Christ is already seated on the throne of heaven. He has already won the victory. And he will return in full glory to establish his kingdom forever and ever from sea to sea. And even all who die under the enemy assaults, who are murdered in this world, will rise from the dead. We no longer need to fear those who kill the body, Jesus said. But we must fear him who can kill body and cast soul into hell. But our hope is in Christ, who rose from the dead. Then all the enemies will be destroyed forever and ever. But all his people will be taken into eternal glory to be where Christ sits enthroned. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And the only question that we need to answer here is, where will you be? Who is your king? Who are you following now? The high priest said, "Whoever follows Ataliah will receive her destruction. But whoever stands for the Son of David will have the peace of God."